It's time to raise the roof for our 2024 Tampa Bay Rays season preview podcast. I'm your host, Alex Murphy. With me, as always, co-hosts Evan Gibson and Evan Lynch. The three amigos are back, me, Evan, and Gibby.
Hell yeah. What's up,
Boys, how we
guys?
doing?
Doing
I'm
good. Ready for Thursday. So
yeah.
excited.
Very, very exciting times. The Rays just finished up their final game of the spring. But we're going to be talking about everything about the 2024 Rays. We're going to be talking about the roster construction. We're going to be talking about what the starting pitching rotation is going to be looking like. Different position battles, knowing that guys are going to be coming back that are on the injured list and things like that. And then our overall expectations for the season. We are going to be having a special guest later in the podcast. So do stay tuned for that. It should be exciting. Opening
Indeed.
day is going to be very, very
It's our
exciting.
fourth season
That is,
covering.
yeah, that is crazy. I mean, the first season was a weird season, but yes, this is our
Yeah.
third full season doing these sort of things, an actual, season preview podcast. It's getting wild that it's been that long.
That's
But what,
crazy.
yeah, where do we, well, I guess first off, just overall thoughts about the Rays coming into this season, whether good or bad.
Just a lot of questions. It's just it's like the main pieces on this team are the same, I guess, as last year and the years prior. But the support staff is going to just be a lot different this year. Whether that be the rotation is going to be a lot different at the end of the year, hopefully. Rasmussen's and Springs, I hope their rehabs go smoothly and they'll be able to be available later in the year. Obviously, Boz and Bradley should be closer. I mean, they should be back relatively soon. So this is gonna, I mean, the rotation is gonna be, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but just a lot of young guys. It's exciting to see just a bunch of new faces, but it also is a little bit uneasy just because it's gonna be very, very, I guess, questionable. And I don't know. I'm excited, but I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of worried about the young guys, just depending on how they perform early.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. A lot of questions already happening, like with injuries and such. I mean, Josh Lowe is going to be out first game, or he's going to be out for at least a few games. Jonathan Rondon being injured, Yanni DeLuca, that was a big injury. So there's already, it's kind of like spring training's already rearing the ugly side of these injuries. But I think since the last pod, Jeffrey Springs threw off a mound, so that's a good sign right there. But yeah, lots of guys coming back. There's still a lot of questions up in the air, just like Evan's saying. But it's interesting. Aranda injured too. I'm not sure how much he was going to be on the starting day roster, but that is another big injury. So yeah, lots of questions early on. Already seeing the injuries, as I like to call them.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see like the young guys in their first full season, I guess, in the majors, like Curtis Meade, like René Pinto. Like, I mean, like you said, Aranda's injured, but once he comes back, I'm assuming he'll come right to the majors after his rehab stint. So it'll be his like almost first full season in the majors too. So that'll be exciting to see.
Yeah, I
And
fully
then
agree.
obviously, and you have Bisaba and Cameron Noah waiting in the minors too. So
There's a lot of exciting names around this roster. Guys that are familiar, guys that are new. I'm currently looking at what the depth chart is on MLB.com. Now, I don't know if this is going to be what the opening day roster is going to look like. The Rays haven't released that yet. And they might release it by the time, or they'll most likely release it by the time that we actually release this podcast. So we might get some sort of updated thing, but we do know the rotation for sure. The rotation, Zach Eflin's taking the mound on opening day for the Rays. The Rays are taking on the Blue Jays to start the season out at the Trop. It's already been announced that the Rays have a sellout for opening day, which is really exciting. But just for the rotation to start out the season, we have Zach Eflin as your number one. Aaron Civale is your number two. Zach Littell is your number three, who's looked really, really good in spring training. Tyler Alexander as your number four, which is surprising, I'm sure, to a lot of people. because I know that they claimed, I think they got him for like a small minor league deal or something like that. Just wrote something pretty insignificant in the off season, and now he's going to end up being a, a starter on this team coming into the season. And then Ryan Pepiot is your number five. Pepiot was, of course, part of the Glasnow trade in the offseason. We now there are guys on this, I guess that there were guys coming into the season who we thought were going to be in the opening day rotation, guys like Taj Bradley and potentially Shane Boz. Both of those guys are on the IL. Their timetable for coming back is kind of uncertain, but it looks like it's going to be hopefully in that late April to early May stage. So this rotation in a month could look, or in a month and a half could look significantly different. I would say that's probably more for the bottom two guys in the rotation than it is for the top three. And then from there, Gibby, as you mentioned about Springs, Springs is supposed to be coming back after the All-Star break. Same thing with Drew Rasmussen. Shane probably won't be coming back at all this season. If he does, it'll be in September. So this is definitely not going to be what the rotation looks like by the time that by the time that even the All-Star break comes around. But how do we feel about it going into the season?
I mean, kind of like what I've been saying already, just super, just one very different from what we're used to. I mean, three of the five guys, four of the five guys were not on our opening day rotation last year. So it's just very, like I said, a lot of questions. I mean, it like you said, it won't be like this forever. So if it does start out to be a little bit rocky, which I'm assuming most Reigns fans are kind of expecting. Maybe the first three guys to be more so solid than the last two guys. Even though, I mean, I haven't followed Tyler Alexander a whole lot this spring, but Pepiot had a great performance. I believe that was today. I believe he had like six shutout innings today, or gave up one run or something. He had a very, very good performance today. So who knows with him? But he's also super young, so I wouldn't be surprised if he got sent down once the rotation got healthier. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to hear what you guys think about it too, but I'm very unsettled by it. Not in a horrible way, just in a very, just, I guess, I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I guess Tyler Alexander is kind of just an experiment right now to kind of see where he can fit in. I assume as like Taj comes back, Shane comes back, Springs comes back eventually, maybe even Rasmussen later than that. So there is going to be like reinforcements coming, but we can kind of see how Tyler Alexander does these first couple of weeks, because I mean he's kind of like one of the most unproven ones, because what Alex said, just like we got him on like this small deal. Probably a lot of fans probably weren't expecting him to be in this role, so it'll be interesting to see him there. Ryan Pepiot, as you said, he had the good outing last time, so I'm excited to see what we got in him. It was good to get a major league ready player from the Glasnow trade, so him making an immediate impact is already enough, and we'll see what we kind of got in him. But I'd say I'm not too worried. I'm not going to put too much faith into the first few weeks of the season. I don't think we're going to have the streaking hot start that we had last season, just because there's been a lot of turnover and all this stuff going into it. But I expect a little bit of slower start, but not too worried, just because we got guys coming later in the rotation. And that's just what we've always rode on, rotation and relief pitching.
Now, I will say Alexander has had starting experience before. In 2021 and 2022, he made 32 starts. He pitched over 100 innings in both seasons. He really didn't do a lot last season. He started a game and then came out of the bullpen 25 or 24 times. So we'll have to see. He definitely has. Looks to be that he has experience and pretty extensive experience in recent years. So I think that the Rays were able to rely on, they knew that he has started in major league games before and has consistently started. Whether that is going to amount to consistent success, we don't know. He's also a lefty, and he's the only lefty that's going to be in the starting rotation. So that was probably something that the Rays wanted to try to do, is get at least one lefty in the rotation. And of the guys that were available to throw out there to start the season out, he was the only lefty that was, you know, a viable starter for them. So I think that that was also something that they wanted to try to do, because
that's a good point.
Otherwise they have four left, you know, they would have had either five lefties or now, or five righties, or now they have four righties and a lefty. But yeah, Alexander definitely seems like a wild card, but again, he's shown that he can start and be relatively successful. He was pitching on the Detroit Tigers, which is, you know, a team that's struggled in recent years. And that means that he's not going to be getting the run support, and the defense that he would be getting for a better team. So I'm sure that that definitely has reflected itself in the stats overall, but there seems to be a lot of plus stuff with him. And also just, you know, lefties usually have really good breaking pitches and have good complementary stuff anyway. So that should help him out pretty significantly. What I did want to focus on above other things, because I think the bullpen is pretty solidified as of right now, Jacob Wagispack is the only guy that is kind of a new face in there compared to what happened. Well, I guess him and Phil Maton, who they got over from Houston. But everyone else is pretty much the same. There's some, you know, a little bit of change up here, but you still have Fairbanks, Adam, Poche. Maton's going to be factoring in there. Garrett Clevenger is going to be back. Armstrong is going to be back. Chris Davinsky, who they got in, at the trade deadline last year, is going to be back. And then Wagispack, I forget how to say it, but he's going to be in that bullpen too. So the bullpen, I don't really think is going to be that big of an issue.
Our bullpen is, it should be gross. I mean, that should be the best part of our team by far, I think.
Yeah, no, I definitely.
I mean, like, I think those the solid. Adam Maton, is it Maton or Maton? I'm assuming it's Maton, it's right?
Phil Maton.
Maton. Adam Maton, Fairbanks are a really, really good 1-2-3. And Poche had an unbelievable year last year, so if he can continue that too. And Sean Armstrong, I mean, it's those five bullpen pieces are insanely good. So
now, somewhere we don't have any depth right now, the outfield with Yanni DeLuca and Josh Logan, it's very scarce out there. I think I heard that we might be starting Ramirez out there,
so
like in right field.
Well, so I'm looking at the depth chart right now on MLB.com, and again, this is just based on what I'm seeing here, and nothing is set in stone because there's some names here that people are trying to figure out here and there. Right now, it has Ahmed Rosario as the starting right fielder for the season. I don't know if that's going to happen. I would have to think that Richie Palacios has a shot of being the opening day starting right fielder. And again, this is because Josh Lowe has been... Oh, wait, what are you looking at?
MLB rankings bullpen, fifth in the league.
Yeah. The Rays bullpen. Yeah, I know. We already talked about the Rays bullpen being good. Yeah, the Rays bullpen is supposed to be really, really good. But
who's the honorary member?
Oh, it's my dad.
Nice.
But yeah, so Rosario is right here projected as the number one right fielder. Harold is number two and Palacios is number three. But I would have to assume that if there's going to be anyone that they would trust, I feel like they would trust Palacios because he's definitely shown a lot of promise in the outfield. But also Rosario's played a lot of outfield recently for the Mets and for the
Is Caballero supposed to be the shortstop? I probably just butchered.
Jose Caballero is supposed to be the shortstop, starting shortstop to begin the season. And then Rosario's the number two behind him. But I mean, left field and center field are supposed to be the exact same. So Randy and Siri. It's just the with Josh getting hurt during spring training, now that opens up a spot in right field that needs to be plugged. And also with Aranda, who looked like he was going to be getting the starting DH spot to begin the season, him also getting hurt and being out for the first month or so. Now that's opened up a spot at DH. So that's why I'm assuming that, I mean, based on this, it's saying that Rosario is going to be the starting right fielder and Harold is going to be the starting DH.
Hmm.
I would like to see, I mean, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about, I don't know if you guys would want to see Rosario out there. I feel like consensus, we're all pretty okay with Harold being DH because he's done it before and he's had success. But is there anyone specific that you guys would want to see out in right field?
I mean, they could always platoon it. Because Rosario is a left-handed batter, correct? Or is he switch hitter?
He's righty-righty.
Oh, he is. Never mind. Why did I think he was lefty? Never mind then. I do remember Harrow playing left, or sorry, right field at some points in his career. And I mean, yeah, he's not the best fielder, but he is what he hit 300 2 years ago, and then he was what 290 last year, I think. So yeah, getting him bats against lefties especially is awesome. It just stinks. I mean, Josh Lowe getting injured really, really does stink. And Aranda, I'm assuming that's why we still have Harold, is because Aranda did get injured. So, but I'd be fine with either of them. I'd be fine with Rosario or Harold or Palacios. I mean, I guess we could always like give him a tryout, I guess.
Yeah. Gibby, what are your thoughts about how the outfield situation, especially in right field, and then is going to be looking?
Yeah, it's probably, just like Evan said, going to be like platooned. I don't see a solidified right fielder right now. I think Ahmed would have the best chance of like being the most consistent guy. I think Harold would be out there sometimes. Obviously, you got to get him in the lineup in some sort of regard, just because he's a proven commodity. Also, yeah, Josh Lowe not being there does really suck. He was one of the standout players of last season, kind of firecracker for this offense. And then Aranda being injured. I mean, yeah, Yanni DeLuca. Yeah, it's just not looking good. But I mean, the right field, not as important as like something like a center field or even left field, just because not as many lefties, obviously. So it's not too bad to have a platoon over there, but I hope it doesn't become a detriment to the team. I think it should be fine. Should be fine.
I will say, I think that there should be a lot of optimism amongst Rays fans, knowing that there are a number of guys who are returning, who are going to be returning off the IL, guys like Taj Bradley and Shane Baz and Springs and Rasmussen later in the season, and then DeLuca and Josh Lowe. And
we're going to have a pretty fresh lineup.
Yeah, like there's going to be, you know, for what it is, I'm sure that there's a lot of question marks about what the lineup currently looks like and what the rotation currently looks like. But I feel like a lot of those are going to be solved in due time once these guys come back off the IL. And like, it's one of those things where the Rays have been riddled with injuries over the course of the entire season. So hopefully this is a case where they just get riddled with injuries at the start of the season, and then they're able to kind of ride it out and guys are able to get healthy. And it's, you know, they are going to get healthier as the season goes on because guys are going to be returning off the IL. That's what I'm kind of hoping. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I can definitely see it happening. As I mentioned, it looks like Caballero is going to be, you know, the starting shortstop to begin the season. Obviously, significantly different from what happened, you know, from what the situation was last year. We don't need to go into more detail about that at shortstop for the Rays. Another thing, it looks like Curtis Meade is going to be making the roster based on everything that I'm seeing on this depth chart. And then at catcher, we know that Rene Pinto is going to be the starter at catcher. Is probably going to get the majority of the starts this season. But they have Alex Jackson as the number two. Alex Jackson was a guy that they got, the Rays got in a minor league deal from the Brewers last season, I believe. And he looked pretty good in Durham. He's kind of had his cup of coffee here and there in the majors. Hasn't really looked that great. But based on this, he's going to be getting his shot as the backup to start the season out. Any thoughts about how the catcher situation is going to look? Because I know the Rays always tend to prioritize defense over anything, and you know, if a guy ends up being a really, really good, you know, having a good offensive season, it's just a plus. But I mean, how do you guys feel about how the catcher situation is going to pan out?
Rene Pinto is going to be probably the main guy. I'd like to see what we have in Alex Jackson, but I think these are two pretty, like, we don't know a lot about Rene Pinto right now. We had him a little bit towards the end of last season, but it'll be interesting to see how he does in the majors. I'm interested to see how both are defensively. If we have one that's a little bit better with framing, one's a little bit more of a defensive catcher, one has a better bat. We'll kind of see what we have in these two guys and how we can kind of switch them up between games. They both bat right. Yeah, and bat and throw. So that'll be interesting. For sure. Catching situation, a lot of Rays fans are worried about it, but I mean, they're pretty confident in Rey Pinto, so I'd like to see it, what we can get in like in the lower part of the batting lineup, just so we can. That's always been like a kind of a slow part for us. That 7, 8, 9 always hasn't been too good. So having a reliable or just a productive catcher would be nice in terms of hitting.
Evan, how do you feel about what the catcher situation is going to look like going into the year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's what most Rays fans wanted. I think most Rays fans probably wanted to go out, make a splash, and get maybe like a more, I guess, bona fide star at catcher. But yeah, I mean, Rene Pinto has always been, he's always been solid when he came up. I don't know exactly how he's going to do in his first full season in the big leagues. I'm also interested in to see what they do exactly with Mejia. Obviously they brought him back on a minor league deal. It seemed like he had a good spring, defensively at least, much better than I guess what we were accustomed to with him. So I'm excited. I assume he'll be starting off in Durham. But I'm excited to see. Maybe we bring him back up. Depends on, I think that ultimately depends on how Alex Jackson does as the backup.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, it is nice to have a lefty catcher as well, who I guess not only hits lefty, but also is a switch hitter, because looking at this lineup, there are a lot of right-handed hitters. So, I mean, other than, I think it's basically Bilal and Palacios, and that's about it with lefty hitters. As you know, Josh Lowe is out. Obviously, we traded Luke Rayleigh. So, yeah, I don't know how this. It'd be nice to have another lefty hitter in the lineup too. So Mejia could be that option.
Now, going into the weekend specifically, like I said, the Rays are going to be playing the Blue Jays. I believe it's just a 3-game series, so they're going to be playing on Thursday. There's going to be an off day on Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday is going to be the rest of it. We already know what the starting three is going to be looking like on the mound. It's going to be Eflin, Savali, and Littell in that order. I don't know if the Blue Jays have released theirs yet. Let me go look that up. Rays. I don't know if they've released what their rotation is going to look like going into the season. Looks like it's going to be Berrios is going to start, is going to be the opening day starter, and they have two TBDs for the rest. Now, I don't know if that means that they've actually announced someone, but that is at least what it's looking like to start off. So going into this specific series against the Blue Jays, again, first series of the season, is there anything that you guys are specifically looking for?
We got to see just some fight, you know, some good old fight. No, I'm excited to see Littell on the last day because, I mean, we've kind of moved him around. He was a relief pitcher, I believe, who we've also extended out to a starter. So excited to see how that goes. I know he was in here at the end of last season. He was kind of dealing. I'm definitely excited to see Wagner's pack, or I'm excited to see DA, or I'm excited to see how BA says his name, because I have no fucking idea how to say that. So
I think we're all pretty close.
Yeah, Wagner's pack.
It's got to be something like that. Wagner's pack. I think Wagner's pack makes the most sense.
It would, but yeah, I mean, just so. There is a lot of familiar faces this season, but also a lot of new faces. So we got to see how much we've lost, how much we've gained, what areas we have. It's just a new season, so it's going to be exciting no matter what. Obviously, we're starting off in the division, so still a pivotal game here. Kind of start off the season. Got to keep those young Toronto folks down, because their lineup just gets better and better every year. Not as much this season, the off season for the Blue Jays. So very important.
I'll say almost was with Shohei, but yeah. I mean, it is a huge series. I mean, take this with a grain of salt, considering the experts, quote unquote, typically get it wrong, but most of the experts do think that Toronto and Tampa Bay are going to be neck and neck for most of the season. So obviously divisional games are always big, but it does feel like Toronto and Tampa are very, very similar in terms of talent wise. So getting off to a hot start into the division and on for the season would be awesome. Especially at home, winning 3 out of 4 would be great. I'm excited to see how Savale, I guess, I don't know if bounces back is the right word because he wasn't that bad for us, but he wasn't nearly as good as I think most of us thought he was going to be after we acquired him at the deadline last year. So I'm excited to see, like, I guess maybe what tweaks he made considering he was able to get a full offseason with the Rays and with their coaching and pitching staff. So hopefully, I'm excited to see him and how he's developed amongst the Rays and their, I guess, philosophies or whatever. I'm just excited to see this lineup. I'm excited to see this lineup like get actually made. I'm excited to see Cash release it because I'm eager to exactly see who's playing where. Like we've been talking about, right field's kind of an issue. The outfield in general is just very thin. Catcher's thin, but I'm excited to see how it kind of comes together.
I think that there's, again, as we've mentioned, there's a lot of question marks that are going to be surrounding this team, but at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. Now, I do want to make sure that, because this is the first time that we've done this in a while, I want to make sure that we get into our keys to the series and also our pick a player for the series. So I guess first with keys to the series, I mean, to start off the season, is it anything more than just, you know, getting off on the right foot and making sure everything's going to go well?
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of guys at unfamiliar positions right now, not quite where they played their whole career. So defense is going to be key. I mean, it's always been one of our keys, but having kind of this thin depth at the beginning, it's going to be very important to keep that up. Obviously, I think the pitching is going to come through no matter what. Specifically, our starters are going to probably have to put in a lot of work because the bullpens are going to close out every game just about with minimal amount of runs on the board. So it's going to be up to the starters to just get through 5-6 innings. And ultimately, our bat's kind of lacking without Josh Lowe right now. So need guys like Brandon Lau, Arozarena, Yandy kind of carry until we get Josh back. And then Ramirez, obviously, always going to put in the work. So, I mean, we got a pretty substantial lineup still in terms of the bats. So, I mean, all around pretty well, solid, just a few spots that are thin at the depth and a little bit weird position-wise. So the defense will probably be, might be an issue, but hopefully not.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was just going to say basically that exact same thing about defense. When you get a good amount of new guys together, I'm assuming forming that chemistry between each other might be tough. Especially on double plays or fly balls in the outfield, what have you, like build, it might take some time to build that chemistry. So hopefully our defense isn't too rusty. And I hope that we were able to shrub off the terrible defense that ended our season, or that I guess contributed to the end of our season last year in the playoffs. So yeah, I think defense, catching position, that defensive position is also going to be huge. Keeping the ball in front of you, maybe limiting runners, throwing them out. Those are always big outs, stealing an out like that. So yeah, I think that's my biggest key to the game. And then probably
everything else will come. Everything else will come.
Yeah, definitely. The lineup, I won't be the lineup. I'll give some time considering it's young guys. Plus it's not solidified. Same with our rotation. But like I said earlier, I think my player is going to be Savale. I'm just excited to see how he bounces back, to see him with the full season with the Rays, or with full off season with the Rays. So yeah, hopefully he'll be able to get deeper into games than what he was last year and limit the walks.
Gibby, who's your player to pick for this opening series?
I'll go Eflin, and let's see what Ahmed Rosario does for the
I like
bats.
It.
I'll pick Pinto for my positional player.
I'm gonna go. Well, I know. I mean, Bilal's, you know, surprisingly been struggling in spring training, which I didn't really expect. Expected him to do at least a little bit better. He did hit a pretty long home run today. I think it was like 109 off the bat, so it was definitely a big swing there. So hoping that he does well to start the season out, and then also how Caballero does at shortstop, because he's filling some pretty big shoes in terms of production at that position in recent years. So definitely hoping that he does well there. So all of our picks and everything like that, everything has been all decided. We've gotten done our players and also our keys to the series. The only thing that's left before we have on our special guest in a little bit is just to talk about what we think the Rays are going to be doing this season. So again, this is with the expectations that a number of guys are going to be returning off the IL, and the team that we're seeing on opening day isn't going to be the exact same team that we're seeing by season's end. But knowing everything that's happened last season, everything that's happened in the offseason, all of that, what do you guys think is going to happen with the Rays this season in 2024?
I'm thinking we're still definitely going to be in the division race and definitely the wild card race, somewhere in between there. And, you know, I still have playoff expectations. I guess that's kind of changed for some people, but I mean, I still see a very similar roster, a lot of experience, and a lot of depth being added later in the year. So I see still a team that can definitely compete in this division. And I mean, with a lot of injuries happening, like Yankees losing Gerrit Cole, Red Sox being the Red Sox, and I mean, the Blue Jays looking very strong, I'd say it's going to be a obviously Orioles too, you know, I can't leave them out. They won last year. Orioles are going to be still a very competitive team. I think mostly it's going to be between the Yankees, Rays, Blue Jays, and Orioles. I think the Red Sox still a little bit young, of a young nucleus, kind of figuring out what they're trying to do. I think that they'll probably finish at the bottom, and I'm predicting us either second, third in the division, hopefully in front of the Yankees, because I wouldn't mind being behind Toronto again, maybe in a or not being behind Toronto. I mean the Orioles. Sorry, too many fucking birds in our division, by the way.
There are.
I mean, there's two, but
too many.
Too many. I'm going to be honest. But yeah, I got still soaring expectations for this team. And I want them to score more than one run in the playoffs. That's my expectation. More than one run in the playoffs. Don't even have to win a game. It's more than one run in a playoff series, please. For the love of God.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I'll say.
I don't know. This is one of the more unusual race teams, I think, in the last couple of years, I guess, since our playoff run. Started in 2019. Like, just like a weird, and I get why people might not be like super excited or super optimistic. I don't think we'll be as good as last year. But I agree. I think we'll still be in the divisional race till September. I think we'll be in the wild card race till the last day of the season. It's just, if we can stay, I just hope that we can sustain these injuries, and hopefully we can stay healthy, despite all of the injuries that we've already had. But yeah, it's just like I've kind of said this whole time, it's just there's so many uncertainties, so many players that we just don't know how they actually play and how they are talent wise. So I'm excited to see the rotation grow and become what we're used to. I mean, like we said, Boz and Bradley, they should be back by May, I'd say. So that's, I mean, only a month away. But yeah, I fully expect to be in a playoff contention come September, come late September. And yeah, I think we should make the playoffs. I'm not exactly, I mean, I think Baltimore's probably going to go back to back in the division. The Yankees, Gerrit Cole, them losing Gerrit Cole is humongous for them. The Red Sox should finish in the bottom. And I mean, if Cole's out for a significant, if he's out for a long, long time, who knows what happens with Judge and Stanton. I could see them finishing fourth. And then, like I've said earlier, Toronto and us kind of dueling it out for the second and third spots. I guess that's my prediction.
Yeah, I am very much on the same sort of wavelength as what you guys are talking about with this team. I think that there are a lot of question marks, and those question marks are will be answered hopefully as the season continues on. I don't think that the Rays team that we're going to see this season, knowing the hits that they've taken in players like Glasnow, like not having Wander Franco, as much as we don't want to talk about him, it's a significant loss from last season to this season.
You see the one guy who did five fan on his jersey, like he put a sticky note over the R and the O.
Yeah, I'm definitely here for that. I'll say that. I'm definitely here for that.
That's great use of that jersey, honestly.
Yes. And then, you know, in not having the rotation that the Rays had to start the season out, no, you know, Shane's not going to be here for most of, if not the entire season. And then Springs and Rasmussen aren't going to be here for the majority of the season. So everything's already looking significantly different from what we saw last year. But with all that being said, and everything that we know about what the Rays have brought to the table year in, year out, the success that they've had, everything of that sort, I think that this team is definitely a playoff contender, whether that means that they're going to be someone who makes some dark horse run to the World Series, or whether that means that they get knocked out in the wild card series again, that remains to be seen. But I think that they should make the playoffs again. I think that they have the team to be able to make the playoffs, especially with the pieces that are coming back. And I mean, even the pieces that they've gotten, I think that those pieces are solid pieces. Along with that, I think that there is potential of them being able to make a, I think realistically, I think the furthest that they could go this season is going to be the ALCS. Because I just don't think that they have a good enough team to make the World Series, but I think that there is a scenario and there's a world where they make the ALCS. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that there is a scenario where that could happen. There's a percentage where that could happen. Realistically, I think that they'll probably lose in either the wild card series or divisional series. And I think that while this team has an expectation of success and of winning that they've been able to establish in recent years, I just don't think that the firepower is necessarily there like it has been other years. But I could be dead wrong. I mean, the rotation could be significantly better than what we thought. We could get a lot of production out of the catcher position that maybe we didn't expect. Caballero could have a breakout season at shortstop that he just hasn't really had in any other place that he's been. You know, Meade could be an absolute stud. Rosario could be an incredible pickup for a million, you know, for 1.5 mil. Like there's so many things, again, so many questions yet to be answered with this team. But I definitely think that they're a playoff team. Whether I think that they're going to win the division, probably not, because the O's just have a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, and I guess especially like you said with the Rasmussen and Springs coming back a little bit after the trade deadline, or sorry, after the All-Star break, I guess the deadline is also around that time too. So it's always nice to get those pieces back, or who you don't have to give up anything for at the deadline around. It's like what they always say. I don't know exactly what that's. I feel like they always say that around the deadline when players get back healthy, they're like, oh, this is an unexpected pickup when they're already on your team, obviously. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm so excited for Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, excitement, that is that how we're all feeling right now? I understand that, you know, maybe we might have different expectations of how the season's going to end, but at least for right now, is there just an, you know, undescribable sense of excitement for opening day on Thursday?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. And I want to see that Vlad wagon for sure. I mean,
are you going?
Are you, no, you I'm not going. I bought a ticket. I didn't buy a ticket early enough. And then they got really expensive. So I was like, I'll wait for next series.
Also, why is there only one game on ESPN on opening day? It doesn't make any sense.
They hate baseball.
Freaking baseball. Like,
I did see that ESPN is looking to potentially move out of their contract of doing baseball coverage, which doesn't really make any sense, especially because baseball is supposed to be a growing sport, especially after how things went last year with attendance going up and other things like that. But
someone needs to tell ESPN people bet on baseball too, because then they'll listen.
Yeah,
bet responsibly.
I was gonna say, for those who are wondering our thoughts about the whole Shohei Ohtani thing, we're not going to be discussing that now because this is not the podcast.
Oh yeah.
But we will be discussing it on the next podcast, so do not worry about that. We will definitely take
this
care
of it. This is not a Shohei Ohtani podcast today. Don't fucking ask.
Yes, today, this podcast specifically, it's not. But I think with that being said, that's going to wrap up our portion of this, and that's going to lead into our interview with our special guest, who I will introduce after the break, just before we go here. Make sure to support us on all of our different links, affiliate links that we have. 1771 Designs, 15% off using code RAISETHEROOF. RTR is capitalized. Everything else is lowercase at checkout. Again, In the Clutch is 10% off using code RAISETHEROOF, all caps at checkout. Same thing with SeatGeek, $20 off your first purchase. Make sure to use that too. So again, make sure to support us all there. And hopefully we'll have some new sponsors and things like that to talk about, and new people to shout out during the season. And we'll see how that goes. But for now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back
to our 2024 Tampa Bay Rays season preview podcast.
I unfortunately will not be there, so raise up.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a quick word from our newest sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is your one-stop shop for tickets for everything from live theater and concerts to sporting events like Rays games. SeatGeek uses a color-coded scale to show you where the best deals are, with green being good and red being bad. If you haven't used SeatGeek before, we have a special deal just for you. Use code RAISETHEROOF, that's RAISE spelled R-A-Y-S, at checkout for $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. Again, that's code RAISETHEROOF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Thanks so much to SeatGeek for sponsoring us, and let's get back to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. And we're back on this latest episode of Raise the Roof. So our featured interview for this 2024 season preview podcast for the Rays, multi-time now guest of the podcast, which is awesome to say, sideline reporter for both Bally Sports Rays and for Apple TV Plus when they do their Friday night baseball broadcasts, and proud alum of the University of Indiana, Tricia Whitaker. Tricia, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it as always.
Of course. Happy to.
Yeah, so I know we don't have a lot of time to talk, but I want to make sure we try to get in as much as possible. First thing, the Rays made a lot of moves today. So we recorded last night before some things were really solidified. The depth chart on MLB.com looked a lot different than what it does right now. So I wanted to get your thoughts about the moves that the team made, especially in the catching position, because they ended up getting Ben Roethlisberger, I believe it is his last
your
name.
Guess is as good as mine. I haven't met him yet. I hardly know anything about him. I'm sure we'll interview him tomorrow, but I left the workout today and all of a sudden that popped up. So I mean, I am certainly not an expert on him or how to say his last name yet. So I'll get back to you tomorrow.
No worries there. But I mean, what are your thoughts about the moves that the Rays made? Because I know they moved some guys to AAA. I know, you know, certain guys had triggered their release clauses, and obviously we get the trade of what happened with Uwasawa a little bit ago. So just what were your thoughts about, I guess, just all the moves that the team ended up making today?
Oh my goodness, so many different moves today. I don't even know where to start, but obviously the catcher position is a little bit of, you know, a wild card. It was a little bit of a wild card for us, at least until today when we found out that move, right? The team had spoken so highly about Alex Jackson, and then they sent him to AAA. So that was, I think for me, that was a little bit of a surprise just because of how highly they thought of him. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't still think highly of him. You know, the Rays, they do weird things. And there's a constant shuttle from Durham to Tampa, right? So You never know what could happen there, but you know, I think that any time in the past I have questioned what the Rays do and why they do it when it seems weird in the moment, I've always had to eat my words later, because you know how they work. It's just weird things that they do that none of us understand at the at the time. So I haven't even had a chance to talk to Kevin Cash about what he sees from their new catcher, Ben, however you say his last name, who they were acquired from the Yankees. But I think one of the cool stories from today was Austin Shenton making the roster. We talked to him at the workout. He was super excited. You know, he got optioned to AAA in early March. And then all of a sudden, due to injuries, here he is on the opening day roster. So that was certainly really cool. We also talked to Rene Pinto today, who made his first opening day roster. And people don't know this, but he is the longest tenured player in the Rays organization. Like,
oh, from like players. Minor leagues to now?
Yes, the longest.
Oh, wow, tenured. That's wild.
Isn't that wild? But yeah. And he has always been. So even when Andrew Kittredge was here, Rene Pinto had still been with the Rays, technically the franchise longer. But is his first opening day. Isn't that wild?
That seems like quite a bit. It's taken him quite a bit in order to be able to get up to the roster for sure.
It has, but you could tell that he was just so excited. And a lot of his family is going to be there, and it's going to be great. So those were certainly the highlights of the day for me. I'm really going to be anxious to talk to Ben tomorrow. After getting acquired from the Yankees, I'm sure it's a whirlwind for him, but we're going to look forward to talking to him and kind of seeing his take on this and how he can add to the team and learning a little bit more about him. So it came down to the wire, a lot of this stuff. I think I kind of covered most of the significant moves today. Did I miss anything?
I mean, Uwasawa, but we already knew that
that was coming.
And that just kind of, you know, came to be as is.
Right. Yep. We knew that was coming. So that was not a surprise when it came across my feed.
Yeah. I know the Rays have placed a number of guys on the 15-day IL, just guys that have gotten hurt in spring training that hopefully will be back soon. I don't know what their timetables are looking like, but I'm assuming April, May timeline just seems like it makes the most sense there. Is that pretty accurate from your perspective?
Yeah. So if we're talking about Josh Lowe, right, it does seem like May might be an accurate timeline. Now that changes, right? Obliques are tricky. That can certainly change. For Drew Rasmussen and Jeffrey Springs, we're looking at, you know, the second half, midway through the season. For Taylor Walls, hopefully he's ready sooner rather than later. That would certainly be nice. Jonathan Aranda, that was a really, really unfortunate thing that happened to Aranda, because he does not have much left to prove in the minors, right? He's torn it up in Durham. And he was having a very good spring and they were expecting big things from him. So that was just, ugh, he was taking a ground ball and then just, it slammed his finger and it just a wild, wild sequence of events for him. But hopefully he'll be back here. And I think the timeline was 4 to 6 weeks. Then DeLuca, obviously the wrist injury, that's not great either. So we're looking at a May return from most of those guys, with the exception of Rasmussen and Springs. And then of course, Shane Boz, when they can get him back in the fold, maybe come May, that'll certainly be a boost too. So yeah, May, that's the key word, May.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that being said, looking at what the roster is, because I know a lot of these guys are pretty much solidified. So, you know, guys like Richie Palacios, who I know is going to be on the opening day roster. Austin Shenton's going to be on the roster. Now we have Ben Roordvet. Rene Pinto was already going to be expected there. Ahmed Rosario might be playing starting in the outfield to begin the season. I mean, there's a lot of names that we didn't see at the end of last season who are now going to be here. So what are your impressions of what the opening day roster looks like, knowing that a bunch of guys are going to be coming back?
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of guys coming back. So when you look at the opening day roster, it's not that it doesn't look good. The opening day roster looks fine, but that's not what it's going to look like come May, right? It's going to look a lot different come May. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to, you know, piece it together throughout the rest of the season, right? For a guy like Rosario, you're right. He's a versatile defender. That man can play anywhere. I interviewed him the other day and I said something about his versatility and he can speak pretty good English. So he looked at me and he just goes, I can play at any position. It doesn't matter. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of anything. And I'm like, okay, I like it, right? So the Rays got a guy in him that they can move around a lot. And then obviously with all the guys coming back from injury in May, that lineup's going to look a little bit different. Obviously, you know, the Arozarenas, the Yandy Diaz, the Isak Paredes, the Brandon Lowe's, they're obviously going to be in there, and Josh Lowe when he comes back. But it is going to look a little bit different. There's going to be shuffling. And this opening day roster, to some fans, they might look at it and be like, who's that? Like, you know, but that's just kind of how it is right now.
Yeah.
And if I've learned anything about the Rays, it's that there's a method to their madness, even when everything goes wrong, even when injuries strike. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is going to look different come May, but the opening day roster right now, I think we're not talking about Jose Caballero enough. He made the opening day roster after just a tumultuous journey to the big leagues. It's just been insane what he's gone through. He's had surgeries on all of his extremities, on both of his hands and both of his legs. In six seasons in the minors, he only played 238 games, 238 games in six seasons because of all of the injuries that he suffered. And now he's the Rays opening day starting shortstop. That's incredible. And I know it means a lot to him. And I know that the Rays are certainly hoping that he can fill a void right now.
Mm. Now, are you, I know there's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of questions surrounding this team. And I think a lot of that is just because of injuries, but from your perspective, are you sensing that same sort of thing that there's, I guess, from the fans' perspective, it seems like there are a lot of injuries, injuries are a big thing, but there are a lot of question marks surrounding this team going into the year.
I think that's very fair. I don't want that to sound like I think that things aren't going to go well, but that is certainly fair to say that there are a lot of question marks surrounding this team. I did an interview with Eric Neander the other day, and one of the things that he said about their starting rotation in particular, he said, well, you know, our rotation gets a lot of attention, mostly because no one really knows who they are, right? He's like, it doesn't have a track record. He said, it's not a famous rotation. But he said, what it is talented. He said, it is a talented mix. So I think that Rays fans, even though there are a lot of question marks, you're just going to have to trust that there's a formula to it right now, right? So that starting rotation, it does look a little odd. You got Zach Eflin, and you've got Aaron Civale, who they have said they are expecting to perform much better from a run prevention standpoint this season than we saw last season. Perhaps not coming in near the end of the season will help him. Yeah. And then you got Zach Littell, who obviously proved himself last year as a very valuable part of that rotation. But then the rest of the rotation, you're just kind of like, who are these guys and what are they doing, right? Because Taj Bradley went down, so you got Tyler Alexander. And then you got Drew Rasmussen and Shane Boz coming, Shane Boz and then Jeffrey Springs coming back later in the season. But it does look a little bit strange. And I think it's fair to say that there's a lot of question marks surrounding the team, but you can't forget that there's still they're still returning guys like Randy Arozarena, Yandy Diaz. We got the batting champ on our side. Brandon Lau is healthy, fully healthy for the first time in a very long time. And I loved what he said the other day. He said, listen, I know that it's been hard the last couple seasons for me to stay on the field injury wise, but he said, when I'm on the field, the numbers are very good. So if Brandon Lau can stay healthy this year, that's certainly going to help them. The Isak Paredes, I mean, I feel like we don't talk about Isak Paredes enough and what he did last season, what he's been able to do since they acquired him from the Tigers. So yes, question marks, 100%. But I feel like there's been many times over the last five seasons where whether it's mid-season or beginning of the season where we're like, there's so many question marks with the Rays, they always figure it out. So we'll see.
And then a final thing I have is just, from your sense of talking with the team in interviews and being around the team, does it seem like there's something different about this team? Does it seem like there's maybe a little bit more excitement than we haven't seen in recent years, just among the guys or like anything like that, that has stood out to you as to what the DNA and makeup of this team could be in 2024?
I don't know if I would use the word excitement because a lot of these guys don't know each other yet, but I would use the word quality. I think there's a quality to that clubhouse in terms of character and in terms of talent. And quality character matters, right? You go to some clubhouses, and at the beginning of some seasons, let's be honest, there can be toxic stuff in a clubhouse.
Mm.
And that is hard for a team to overcome on the field. When I walk in that clubhouse, I don't feel that. I don't feel any toxic nature, and I don't feel any lack of chemistry. That's what I have noticed this spring. And I'm not saying other springs it felt like that. I'm yes. just saying that particularly this spring, it has felt like there's no toxicity in that clubhouse. It has felt like there's not a ton of selfish guys in there. It has felt like they're just a bunch of guys who enjoy playing baseball. And that sounds so cliche. And I usually hate when people say that, but I really truly mean that.
Mm.
It is a clubhouse of genuinely good guys to deal with, at least from my perspective, and guys who aren't prima donnas or divas, which really, really plays well for a team.
Okay. And then I'm sure your excitement is just as big as everyone else to be back at America's Ballpark tomorrow, be able to enjoy opening day. I'm going to keep pushing that as much as possible.
I love it. You guys are the best.
I know. We've been pushing it.
It cracks me up.
But it's great because everyone else embraces it, and everyone else think like some people think it's stupid, but like race fans embrace it. Cause I think the more that we push that, the better it is.
As they should. And you guys are like, I just want to compliment you on your Twitter. Like it makes me laugh. Like I'll be sitting there in the middle of a game, and even if it's a rough game, I'm going through my Twitter timeline and I see something you guys have tweeted, and I'm like in the camera well by the dugout laughing out loud because it's just like so funny. So I appreciate you guys, your humor. And I also appreciate that you guys like are very, you're very realistic about the team, right? Like you're very like, we're not going to sugarcoat if they're in a bad stretch, but you're also not like one of those like Twitter accounts that's just like negative Nancy all the time and just like ripping people apart. It's just
we definitely don't try to be down in the dumps. That's the biggest
thing. Because what does that do? It's awful. Yeah.
I mean we have to be realistic as much as possible. You know, it's they might not win the World Series this year, which I'm not expecting them to, and I don't think a lot of Rays fans are expecting them to. I'm sure the team definitely is, but you know, there it's things like that where like, you know, you try to be as realistic as possible as to what is going on. And I think that this team is definitely a playoff caliber team. It just kind of depends on how things go as the season goes on to kind of determine how things.
I would agree with that. I think that they can make the playoffs. Like you said, I mean, honestly, the weird thing this year for me, and I'm glad you asked the question of like, does it feel like there's a lot of question marks? Because I've done a couple of these season preview podcasts and it's almost like, I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Because I don't know what to expect, because there was an onslaught of injuries during spring training. The starting rotation doesn't really look familiar to anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, there's so many different unknowns where I'm like, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. I don't really know what he can do. And so it's almost like, I'm like, I don't know what to say, you know, but I do think, because they're the Rays, they are a playoff caliber team. Now, where the heck it goes after that, I have no flipping clue. Or really how the first half of the season is going to go. Do I think they'll piece it together if the first half doesn't go well in the second half because of some of the guys returning? Yes, I absolutely do. But I have no idea what's going to happen in the first half. And last year, I think I did a season preview with you guys and I was like, this team's going to be good. This rotation is just like unbelievable.
And then the wheels fell off the bus slowly but surely as the season went on.
Well, but they still put on, injury-wise, but they still racked up 99 wins.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They were just as good as we thought they were going to be in the regular season.
It was just the weirdest way of it happening, considering everything that happened.
But like there's like one certainty I have this season, and it is that bullpen. That bullpen is going to be damn good. And
I was
going to
say that bullpen has looked really, really solid.
That's the only thing that I'm like, there's no question marks there. I mean, obviously I don't have a question mark with like Yandy Diaz and Zach Eflin, Randy, but like everything else, I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I mean, there's just a lot of question marks and I'm just like, so curious how these first like few weeks are going to go in this first month. So your guess is as good as mine. And I don't think I've, in my six seasons, I don't know that I've ever said that before a season.
Well, so I think that's what's going to make it exciting for everyone is like, we don't know what's going to happen. So we're just kind of along for the ride to see what goes on. I'm sure that's the same way that you guys feel, you know, that you and Ryan and Dwayne and BA feel, and I'm sure the rest of the media feels about just what's going to happen, because like you said, there's just I think the only known thing is that there's a lot of unknowns, and we need to wait for the unknowns to, you know, solve themselves for things to actually kind of, you know, coagulate into something.
100% correct.
Yeah. Well, Trisha, I know that you're really, really busy because opening day is tomorrow and you got a lot of things going on. So I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to make sure that you have the floor to, you know, let people know where they can find your stuff, whether it be on TV, whether it be on social media, whatever it is.
At Trisha Whitaker on Instagram and on Twitter. You can watch me on Bally Rays and then on Apple TV on Friday nights. And the Rays are going to be on Apple TV quite a bit this season. So I'll sit there too.
And when is the pregame show start for tomorrow's? Or I guess we're going to be releasing it, but for opening day, when does the pregame show start?
Opening day, we have an hour-long pregame show. So it starts at 3 o'clock. Yeah.
It'll be fun. Yep. It'll be fun.
Hour-long pregame show. I'm going to interview Jose Siri. I'm going to interview Pete Fairbanks. We'll have Neander on. We'll have Cash on during the game, in the middle of the game. He'll put the headset on and talk to us. So it's going to be a really fun broadcast. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. Well, thanks, Trisha, so much. We really, really appreciate it, as always.
Anytime.
Thanks so much for listening to this latest episode of Raise the Roof. A big thanks to Trisha for once again coming on and being with us. Make sure to follow her on social media and follow her whenever Rays games are on Bally Sports Rays. And also Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus. As for us, you can follow Raise the Roof on social media at Raise the Roof TV on both Twitter/X and Instagram. Also, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a like for the podcast. We are pretty much everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. Also, be sure to support us on all of our affiliate links. We have our SeatGeek link, which is $20 off your first purchase using code Raise the Roof, all caps at checkout. Also in the clutch, 10% off any order, anytime. Raise the Roof, all caps at checkout. And our newest partner, 1771 Designs or 1771 Designs, by using the same code Raise the Roof, but the R, the T, and the R are the only things that are capitalized. Everything else is lowercase, for 15% at checkout. Last thing, if you guys didn't see on Twitter, we have an opening day giveaway with Homage. They are giving away a Devil Rays lightweight hoodie and sweat shorts. So if you guys haven't seen that, make sure to enter. The last day that you can enter is Sunday by 11:59 a.m. because we will be announcing the winner on Sunday at noon. So make sure to do that. With that being said, thanks so much again for listening. We can't wait for this 2024 season of Tampa Bay Rays baseball. And as always, raise up.